Thank you, Brother Keith. I know it's not for me to say, but he could have went an hour. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that message. I should say I needed that message. I trust the Lord. But that's right. What is the depth of the trust that we have in our Lord? And do we trust Him at all times? And I like what you said concerning about the will of God. You know, that's a whole lot to that. And you explained it. You did a real good job. But I'm going to preach a message around just that subject. Amen. One good thing, us preachers just need to be preached to, don't we? Amen. I don't know of a preacher that don't need to be preached to. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Genesis. The 18th chapter, verse 17. I want to read verse 17, 18, and 19. It is good to be here. I'll tell you what, you folks have worked. This is a beautiful building. And the fellowship hall is just wonderful. And I know Brother Charlie had so much to do with that. And he's going to be missed. He'll be missed. You're going to miss him a whole lot more than he's going to miss y'all. He knows right now you're going to be there.
He took all the
spot.
He was our faithful. He drove us to do it.
That's right. Yeah. And you can see his handiwork. He was a good carpenter. Here in Genesis 18th chapter and verse 17, and the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." I want to try to speak on this subject for a little while this evening, and we need to lean heavily upon the Lord. I always do. We need to lean heavily upon the Lord, and that is the privilege of salvation. Have you ever given a whole lot of thought concerning the privilege that the child of God has just for being saved? Being a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. This setting is Abraham, as you know, had gone. Brother, he and Sarah, his wife, was there, and they were both very old. And having children, as far as they were concerned, was just out of the question. They couldn't do that, but the Lord had already promised Abraham that there would be a child. And then it was the Lord Jesus himself, with a couple of angels. You know, somebody might say it wasn't, but they'd be wrong, because it was Christ. In the form of Christophany, that is an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ at the pre-incarnation. This is before he assumed that perfect human nature as man from 2,000 years ago. But during the days of Abraham, he had approached Abraham and told his wife that she was going to have a child, even as old as she is, and she said, "No, that can't be." Well, I mean, she laughed about it, and the Lord said, "You laughed," and she tried to get out of it, and, "No, you laughed. I know you laughed." But that was Christ. You can see Christophanies of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the Old Testament, everywhere. If you go to the 16th chapter, the 26th chapter, in very many places, that you find Christ in the Old Testament. And you know, the Lord is about to bring his wrath upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah because of their ungodliness, because very many of the things that the government, even of this country, is trying to promulgate today and cram down the throats of so many people. And the Lord was on his way to do that. And we know the subject of what had happened, the conversation that Abraham had with the Lord. Of course, that not being my subject this evening, I just wanted to mention that on the offset. But before he does so, the Lord takes time here to speak to Abraham about his plans. He's a friend. I mean, Abraham is his friend, and he loved Abraham. Abraham belonged to him, just like you. If you're saved by God's grace, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he takes care of you, and he will take care of you. Of course, he always does, as we've already been explained very well this evening on that. In our text, we are permitted to see, just get a glimpse of the relationship that existed between Abraham and the Lord. And it was a wonderful, wonderful relationship. Whenever we are saved by God's grace, and we know that we're saved, and there's no way in the world a person's going to be saved by the power of grace and not know it. Because whenever you are saved, then there a difference happens. It's different. It's not like it was before. But whenever we are saved, we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And as you know now, there's many advantages to being saved. Very many advantages. Privileges, if I could say that. I mean, just wonderful thoughts, wonderful dreams. I don't know how many people have the idea that, and I have actually heard people talk about this, that one of the best privileges is missing hell. We do miss hell. Now I understand that, but that's not what it's all about. That is not what it's all about. We're going to glory now. It's more concerning that than just missing hell itself, because the Lord's not going to have his people to go into the lake of fire. Having our sins forgiven in the manner that our sins were forgiven. I mean the torture that the Lord Jesus Christ endured just to do away with your sins at Calvary, before Calvary. That perfect life that he lived. He had no sin to be forgiven, so what he was doing, he was forgiving the sins of his people, those that the Father had given him before the foundation of the world. And having fellowship with God, these and many other things are tremendous blessings that we receive from our Lord and Savior. Brother Keith, what time did I get up here? I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach then. All right. We have, as the child of God, so many precious and tremendous privileges. Our text, the text that we have just read, shows us prominent privileges that we have, just listening the conversation there with Abraham and the Lord, but also with great, great privileges comes great responsibilities too. We have responsibilities. Not just the pastors of churches or preachers, but those that sit upon the pew, those that are saved by God's grace. We can't just claim to be saved and then ignore God and ignore the lives of other people and the conditions of other people. We can't just do that. I believe that, as I said a little while ago, salvation makes a difference. There is a difference. And then we have a desire as well to live godly among men. We also have a desire to see others saved by God's grace. I would that every one of my grandchildren, everyone in my family were saved. I can't save them. I thought a long time ago, whenever the boys started coming up and getting a little bit bigger, that I could just make them, as I used to, you go to church. I mean, that's what we do, we go to church. I found out, and they found out, I should say, I don't have to listen to him anymore. They don't do it, but listen, that does not stop us from really, really praying, talking to them, witnessing to them. And I want to try to show you that before we're done, but God gives us privileges to enjoy that he might use us for his glory and his honor in this present world that we're living in. Notice this first of all with me. The privilege that we have as a child of God of an intimate relationship with our Lord that nobody else has. Nobody in the world who is not saved by God's grace, they have no desire of being right here this evening. Not really. Anywhere else, Sunday morning, they'd just soon be out on the lake somewhere or doing just anything. They don't have any desire to worship God because they don't have that worship. Few grasp, I believe, the intimate relationship that we possess with our Savior. Abraham, he looked upon the Lord with awe. Then he looked upon with reverence, with respect, and with love, and rightly so. But let me show you something. God also looked upon Abraham in a particular way. God had a special relationship with Abraham. He loved Abraham tremendously. In Isaiah 41:8, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." The friend of God. That friend. Not only so, but the Lord looks upon each and every one of His blood-bought children, each and every one, with an intimate relationship, in having an intimate relationship. In Romans 8:15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." If you are saved, you're a child of God, belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Spirit of God dwells within you. That gives you desires, but again, it gives you responsibilities also. So you are in, you're in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it involve? First of all, I want to show you divine, I believe, discernment. In this, Genesis, this 18th chapter, verse 19, notice with me, it says, "For I know him." For I know him. Now that is wonderful. And I'll tell you what, God knows everything about each and every one of us. God knows us, and his knowledge, that knowledge of us, should cause us to have an honest respect for him and to be honest before him. Hebrews 4:13, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." We're to be transparent. We're to be open. There's no way in the world you can ever hide anything from God. Now I know I'm not telling you anything new tonight, but listen, our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be very transparent, open, and honest. He knows your heart. He don't just know what you're thinking right now, but he knows what you're going to be thinking. There's not a thing in the world that he does not know about us. He knows our minds, and he knows the true concerns of every individual. He knows the hearts of each one as they assemble, because it comes time for worship, whether it's a regular service in a church or a special service. He knows the hearts and the desires of each. Did you come because you really wanted to? Or, no, it's just going to be church and I have to go. And I have to go. It involves divine conversation also. And that's a wonderful thing. In verses 17 and 18 again, I want to read these verses. "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Now, quite a bit could be preached right here. For one thing, it is, I believe, concerning the very seed even coming from Abraham. You know, the Lord had promised the seed of the woman, and then it also, there's Abraham, and how the Lord Jesus Christ had come through the nation of Israel, even Abraham. But the Lord opened up this conversation with Abraham, allowing him to be the intercessor for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, you know how Abraham had followed him and said, "You know, if it's so many, are you going to kill that many? Are you going to They was having a good conversation. Here's the thing about it. You know the Lord listens to us whenever we pray. Whenever we converse with Him. We ought to do the same thing whenever we open up His book. And begin to read it. The godly man, that godly man can be an intercessor. For his family, for his friends, and for others. I know it's just a natural thing for us to desire our family and all of our family to be saved. I've got grandchildren that my heart's desire is that every single one of them would be saved. I hate to even think about this. Any in my family not going into glory. That gives me a lot of thought. You might say, well, you ought not think that way. I can't help that. I do. I love my family. Each and every one of them. Not just that, but friends. Every person. I do this. And I'm not God. I don't know the heart of anyone. Every person that I preach to, I should say pastor, even those who are not members of the church right there in Oakdale, I hate to think of any one of them hearing the gospel and then leaving this life not saved, and not believing the message of God. One of the greatest privileges we have is that of conversing with someone. Listen, it doesn't have to be from the pulpit. It can be a mom. It can be any person, any member of the church that has this desire to speak to someone about the Lord. And let them know about it. And another tremendous blessing that we have and privilege that we have as a child of God is a privilege of prayer. Just opening up to the Lord. Just the fact that we have unhindered access to the throne of grace and that God hears our prayers. Notice in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verses 15 and 16 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Talking to the Lord. Conversing with the Lord. I'll tell you what, I can be mowing, and I don't mind that time. It gets pretty hot sometimes. We can talk to the Lord then. I've worked up a few sermons on the lawnmower too. It works. The only bad thing about it, I don't have a piece of paper and a pen, and my finger just doesn't operate like it used to, but it still helps. I know this. Many people believe that our prayers are to go in there and just change the mind of God. It doesn't change God's mind, does it? It doesn't change God. It doesn't do that. He's immutable. He does not change. But I'll tell you what it does. I could be distressed and then go to the Lord. Now, it changes me from distress to consolation. And that works too. And while I pray, I know this. God is listening. And God is going to do the right thing because He's God. And it blesses your heart. Just like, you know, we've got a granddaughter that's in bad shape. And we... I'm sorry. We think about her all the time. Saw her this evening. She weighs about 80 pounds. And we've held her. She's come to church. When your children are hurting, or your grandchildren, then you hurt. I'm learning more about prayer. I'm really learning how to pray. I'm learning how. We don't change God. We're not going to change God. And I know that He's going to do the right thing. Also, because He's God. Of course, we've asked everybody to pray for, and we know that many prayers have been lifted up. Those who are engaged in prayer, and those who really, really pray, I'll tell you what, the Lord will change them too. Prayer will strengthen you. Prayer puts you closer to the Lord. It's such a privilege being a child of God because you have access to God. You have access to His throne. Prayers takes us to the place of grace. And that's a real good place to be. Not only so, it involves divine decrees. I want you to notice this. In verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. This relationship brings with it blessings that flow to us from the Lord. And it does that. We have a privilege of enjoying His blessings and His plans for us. God has always had plans. I don't mean that God just every day, of course He's now, He's always been, but that He comes up with something now and later He comes up with something. His plan is eternal and we're very much aware of that. But whenever we see the privilege that we have of being a part of the plan and He considers us, what a privilege it is to be known of the Lord. What a privilege it is to be the very focus of His plan. That's something. Whenever you get back and think about it, who in the world am I? Just not worthy. Unworthy. But if you're saved by God's grace and His plan concerning His elect, He focuses upon you in so many things. Before it ever takes place, we have a tendency to worry about things tomorrow. And we can't do anything about that, can we, Brother Tom? Not tomorrow. We tend to worry about so many things, we try to figure them out and how to fix it. And then whenever it comes time for there to be the problem that we were worried about, then the problem's not even there. It's already taken care of. So we worried for nothing. Didn't help us one bit. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace." Wasn't it? This is the thought that God has for His people. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Not one bit. To give you an expected end. You expect to go to glory? You're saved by God's grace? That's where you're going. Glory. There's no question. How precious, according to Psalms 139 and 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Just the thoughts of it. God has always had His eyes upon His people. There's never been a time for us, and again, God is not in time, but there's never been a time for us that God has not been doing concerning His people. Just like whenever the Lord Jesus Christ come into this world. You know the perfect life that He lived? I mean, He couldn't sin because He's God, but it was ever realizing the work that He had coming. The finished work that He must accomplish concerning the redemption of His people. This went on. In fact, for 33 and a half years until He went to the cross of Calvary. We may not know where the path of our life will end. But I'll tell you, we can certainly find comfort in the fact that God does the planning. And He takes care of all of that. And we know exactly where it's going to be. That was Elijah. Elijah never imagined. He performed very many miracles. And then he thought he was just done for there for a while. He never imagined what his path would be. But just look what happened to him there. He and Elisha, and the Lord even had this little separation because this chariot with those horses and the fire and whatever it was, I don't understand all that, but I know it took place. Body and soul, the Lord took him right on to glory. Right there. He didn't have any idea this was about to happen. Before he knew it, he was with the Lord. I mean, right there in glory. So as we walk with the Lord, just remember, He's the one that orders our steps. According to Psalms 37 and 23, it says the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Notice with me also this, the privilege of sharing. And that's a good thing. Abraham's privilege went beyond the relationship that he had with the Lord. According to the last phrase of verse 18, future nations will be blessed because of this man. And in verse 18, Genesis 18th chapter, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. So many are saved. Christ Jesus, there you are. And that's the seed. That's the one. It's a privilege to be used by the Lord to be able in any manner, in the right way, to touch someone around us. It's a privilege to be able to somehow or another impact the lives of others. The Lord used this man to influence lives around him. And that's what he does with his true preachers today. And those that love him. Those who preach truth and don't see the results very much. That don't mean that it's going to just stop right there. It doesn't. Look in verse 19. For I know him. For I know him. That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. The word command here carries the idea of issuing orders. What he was doing is issuing orders. The saved, those that are saved by God's grace, has the privilege, as I have mentioned, talking to others about the Lord, following the commands of God's word, and being obedient to God's word. We are charged with sharing the infallible word of God, even with generations that might follow us. That's what I was about to say. Preachers that are dead and gone are still right now influencing the lives of people. Through their message, through their writing, or through their children, their grandchildren. Have you ever had granddad or grandma or somebody, whenever you was just real little, to talk to you about something, about the Lord, and it hung with you, and you remembered it? Nothing happened while you were alive with them, but later on in life, you remembered that, and it affected your life. And the Lord even used that as a testimony, as a message. May have even brought you to the Lord. This happens. There's Charles Haddon Spurgeon, whether you agree with everything he said, did, and believed, and all that. So many do read his books and claim him. I'm surprised to hear that even those in Neo-Pentecostalism follow Charles Spurgeon. They must not read all of it. But anyway, he still influences the lives of others. I've got some writings from Brother Cecil Lawrence and some messages from Brother Cecil Lawrence. And I've listened to them. And I'll tell you what, it will affect you. And you learn. You pick up little bits and pieces here and there. And many, many others. We are charged as God's children to share God's Word even with generations that are to follow. We have that privilege of passing this truth right on down. It doesn't just stop here. Amen. That's why I believe whenever, even before a service, a Wednesday night service, somebody says, well, that's just a Bible study and prayer meeting. It's just as important as Sunday morning, Sunday evening. Just as important as a Bible conference. And each time one of the brethren stand up at different sessions and preach. You ought to pray. You ought to pray for the pastor. You ought to pray for those in the who will be listening, who will be there. You ought to spend time praying. you've heard it said, you can't just come in and turn on a switch and get spiritual all of a sudden and then lose that spirituality whenever you leave out. Well, it simply doesn't work that way. We ought to always be close to the Lord. So it speaks of our personal witness. It speaks to us as a child of God. We're to share the message of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost world as well as to those that are saved. In Mark the 16th chapter, in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I can't go into ever. Brother David, you can't. Other missionaries, various ways. The gospel is shared with so many people. And that's what we ought to do. I'm about done. The character, our character, is involved also. Again, verse 19, for I know him. The Lord said, I know him. Now, there's a lot of comfort in that. At the same time, again, we don't hide nothing from God because he knows you. He knows me. That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. The phrase after him on this has the idea of leaving a legacy. That's what it is. For others to follow. Not just leaving a legacy, but for others to follow. For others that you would want them to follow. That you wouldn't be ashamed of. It is not just our words that are important. It's also our walk and our conduct. Amen. And our behavior. We have the privilege as a child of God of walking with integrity before the soul lost world, before people. We have a responsibility to the young people. We have a responsibility to those that are weaker in the faith. We have a responsibility to each and every person that we confront. As being a child of God, as saying, yes, I'm a Christian, and showing what a Christian really is. How a Christian is to conduct their life, just to anyone in the path of life. Our steps are just as important as our speech. It's been said, what you do speaks so loud that I can't hear what you say. Amen. And that's the case very, very often. Amen. The greatest privilege of life is that of walking as did our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just that's a great privilege, walking with him, doing his will, seeking his will, doing the best we can to live a great life, a perfect life. I know we're not going to live a perfect life, but complete life. I never will forget many, many years ago, right here in this church, sitting right over there, Pauline and I were sitting just about where Brother Jerry is right now. Brother Pack, Sister Beverly sitting right there. And a preacher, I won't tell you who he is, but he spent quite a bit of time trying to explain how there's no way we can live a perfect life. No way we can live like we really ought to live as a child of God. Going on, Brother Pack, and I'll never forget it. He said something to this effect. Why shouldn't we try? He said it out loud. Right here. And that's a fact. Go in that direction. Head in that direction. Lord, help all of us. Amen. We have a tremendous Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and privilege as having that Savior and being a Christian. But responsibility comes with it as well. God bless you.